A couple of weeks ago, we began discussing the topic of the blessings and the sins of the fathers. And by the fathers, we mean parents or those who have had an influence on us that have gone before us in life. And that could be step-parents, and it could be foster parents, or I was talking to a gentleman this morning, and he talked about the fact that his sister had a great influence on him because his father was absent, and his mother was not real active. But for people who have had an influence on us, when we pick up the good things, we have blessings. When we pick up the bad things, then we have problems. Exodus chapter 20 is kind of a foundational scripture for this sermon series. Exodus 20 and verse 5, God says, I lay sins of the parents on their children. The entire family is affected, even children to the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. So what does he mean by that, and how is it that the sins of parents can have an effect on the children, whether you are that child on which it has an effect or you are that parent who is having effect on your children? Either way, when parents disobey God, whoever you are, there's a penalty for sin. And when we disobey God, the family suffers, and especially when the children follow a wrong example of the parents or the ones who have influence over the children. Now there's also the other part, and that's why we call it the blessings of, or the sins of the fathers, depending on which, and it's both. Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 7, or 7 verse 9 rather. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 9. This is the other side, that yes, the sins have an effect on the children, but so does obedience have an effect on the children. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9 says, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations to those who love him and keep his commandments. And so when we do the right things and follow the right principles and have the right morals based upon God's principles and laws, then blessings come from that in your own life and on that of those around you. Now this includes mankind's sins and blessings, which we talked about before. Your father and mother, Adam and Eve, decided to take a wrong turn, decided that God's way wasn't good enough for them. They had to make their own path and follow that of the influence of Satan, even, which they did. And it says, as a result, you're going to have thorns when you go out there. And so those of you that are farmers, or you're out there and you're trying to plant something, and then these weeds grow up, you're cursed with that. And it said pain in childbirth, which has a number of implications to that. But there were problems that came down as a result of our parents, Adam and Eve, sinning. Romans chapter 5 talks about that. We turned to a number of scriptures last time on that. We'll just read a couple here that summarizes this. Romans chapter 9, verse 19. God says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. And he's specifically referring to Adam and Eve who sinned. As a result of their disobedience, mankind as a whole, in general, has suffered. But the rest of that sentence is, again, the other part of the topic of the sermon we're talking about. Also, by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. And so just as we suffer from the wrong choices Adam and Eve made, so we get the blessings and the benefit of the right choice that Jesus Christ made. And the way he lived his life and the sacrifice he gave for us and the example he set for us to follow, that we can have many blessings from that. And he, in a sense, is our father from the, there is God the Father, but he's our father from the perspective of spiritually. He's born us. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so our elder brother is spiritually a father to us, that we follow his example and will be blessed. Verse 21 of Romans chapter 5 says, so that as sin reigned in death through Adam and Eve, so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ. So there's hope that even when we have bad influence through mankind's sins, we have the good influence that can see us into the kingdom of God and into eternal life. And of course, there's societal blessings and curses as a result of a land in which we live and the decisions that the father's nations or the fathers of a society make has an effect on us, for good or bad. Leviticus chapter 26 is a summary of, if you follow me, talking to the nation Israel, if your leaders will put me first, if your leaders will set the right examples, then you all can be blessed as a result. Leviticus 26, verse 14, New Living Translation says, however, if you don't listen to me or obey these commandments, if you break my covenant, rejecting my decrees, treating my regulations with contempt, refusing to obey my commandments, I'll punish you. There's a penalty for sin. On the other hand, it says that if you will obey me and if your leaders follow my laws and my ways, then the nation will be blessed. And it can talk about a nation or a society or a community. Leviticus 26, verse 3 says, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will walk among you and I will be your God. And I'll be with you and you'll be my people. Now, we talk about the sins of the parents being visited upon the children to the third and fourth generations and the entire family being affected. Now, since curses can be passed down in a family, generationally, through mankind, through society, is that a good excuse for us not to change? To blame others because we didn't have it very well, because there were problems around me, because society was bad, because my parents were bad. There seems to be, well, there has been for quite a while, a wanting to place the blame on others. This last week, this lady got awarded something like $12 billion from R.J. Reynolds because her husband smoked himself to death. And so what do? Well, you blame the person that makes the cigarettes. Now, he didn't have anything to do with it, obviously, smoking however many packs a day, right? How could you blame him because he smoked himself to death? You remember several years ago now, the Menendez brothers over in California, who dad was abusive, and indeed he was. Well, they had to kill him. So they killed their parents because dad was abusive. Well, what else could they do? They're just victims, right? They didn't have a choice. They could have not killed him. They could have just ran away or done something else. Well, I couldn't get a good job because I was raised in a bad neighborhood. Didn't have a chance. You know, it's not my fault because I had a bad parent. Not my fault because I never knew my parents and I was raised in foster homes or whatever excuse might be. It's not my fault. Now, is that where we're going with this sermon? That because there are sins of others, that we're not to blame? Well, let's look into the scripture. Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18 is as if he's addressing this very subject and bringing up scenarios. Okay, I got a little vignette for you here. I've got a little story, and I want you to analyze it and answer which way it should be. Ezekiel 18 is, I would say, the essence of this sermon series on the blessings and the sins of the parents. And we'll see here that God holds us each accountable for our own decisions, no matter who we are or what our circumstance. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 1. Another message came to me from the Lord. Why do you quote this proverb concerning the land of Israel? And that proverb was, the parents have eaten sour grapes, but their children's mouths pucker with the taste. Okay, so have you ever eaten sour grapes or a raw olive? Okay. Have you eaten a raw olive off the tree? If you did, you only did it once, believe me. Extremely bitter. But you put that in your mouth, and because you did that, and your mouth is all puckering, or you've got sour grapes, and just, oh, is that what I wanted? Your kids are going to suffer as a result of you eating sour grapes. This was what was going on, and in a way sounds like the sins of the parents being passed on to the children. But he says, I want you to analyze this. I want you to think about it. Verse 3, he says, as surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, you will not quote this proverb anymore in Israel. I want to set the record straight on this sins of the fathers to the children, or the blessings of the fathers to the children. Verse 4, all people are mine to judge, both parents and children alike. And this is my rule, the person who sins is the one who will die. In other words, you are responsible for your actions. Do other people's actions have an effect on us? Yes, they do. How do we respond to that? What do we do with that? That's up to you. It's between you and God. Chapter 18, verse 5. And he said, okay, here's a scenario. I want you to think about this situation. Suppose a certain man is righteous and does what is right and just and good. And many of you are in that situation where your parent was really, honestly, just a really great parent. You know, maybe, you know, taught you the truth of God from the very beginning, and your dad was always very nice to your mom and to the kids, and always, you know, did a good job and worked hard, and, you know, your mom was just a good gal, and she was nice and respectful to her husband and took care of you kids and doing all the right stuff. Some people come from a situation that is similar to, yeah, it was that good. And of course, there are others that came from the exact opposite. And in this room, you find the variety. God calls everyone as he will, whatever your circumstance is, and whether you came from an awful, horrid, and abusive background, which some of you have, or whether you kind of had the leave it to Beaver, father knows best situation in your home. He deals with all of us. Okay, so suppose a certain man is righteous. Verse 7, he is a merciful creditor, not keeping items given as security to poor by poor debtors. He does not rob the poor, but instead gives food to the hungry, provides clothes for the needy. Verse 8, he grants loans without interest, stays away from injustice, is honest and fair when judging others. He's just trying to obey God and does godly principles and a really good example, okay? So you got that. And verse 9, he faithfully obeys my decrees and regulations. And then he says, anyone who does these things is just and will surely live. This is one who keeps my commandments, does my ways, and will be blessed through 1,000 generations. Okay, good people. Now verse 18, and he puts something in here that some of you are going to be able to relate to, even though you tried and did your best and you set a good example, and overall, and no, nobody's perfect, we know that, except God the Father and Jesus Christ. But so now you got a parent that's done everything right. And as parents, I think most of us will reflect on this, that we tried to teach our children the right thing, and then some of them grow up and they just don't hold all the values that we hold. Some end up doing opposite things. Some end up doing the right things, but So here's a circumstance. Verse 10. But suppose that man has a son. This man who does all the right things, right? Has a son who grows up to be a robber or a murderer and refuses to do what is right. And some of you, in spite of your best efforts, your kids went off the deep end somehow. You know, drugs, jail, you know, any number of circumstances that can occur. Verse 11, and that son does all the evil things his father would never do. I taught you better than that. You weren't raised that way. Why are you talking to your mother that way? Why are you doing these things? We taught you what the Word of God says. But they do it anyway. Ah, so that's your fault. Not if you did your job. You did the best you could, right? So he does things his father would never do. He worships idols on the mountains, commits adultery, oppresses the poor and the helpless, steals from debtors by refusing to let them redeem their security, worships idols, commits detestable sins. Verse 13, lends money at excessive interest. Should such a sinful person live? And we're not talking about going and just killing people that do all these bad things, but we're talking about the penalties that come from doing the wrong thing. There's blessings and there's cursings. And so if he does these bad things, should he be blessed? It says, no, he must die and take full blame. Papa taught him right. Mama taught him right. He did the wrong thing. New Century Version says, he will be responsible for his own death. Okay, you can't get in on the kingdom on your parents' coattails. Now, some of you have had kids that, you know, are on the edge with the church. You know, every once in a while, 9/11 goes off and said, well, okay, let me grab that coattail a little bit here. I'm a little bit scared, you know, and I want God to bless me, you know, and try to get on you, right? The International Standard Version says his guilt will be his own fault. If you obey your parents, it says you'll have long life on earth. Sometimes we reject the good example of a good parent. And what God wants us to do is to see the difference. You've got a good parent, and if you've got a good parent and he's following biblical principles, whether he was converted or not, there's still good principles people obey. Follow that. Do good things. Don't reject the good. Take a part in the blessings of the parents and the example they set. Now he goes on and says, okay, let's look at another circumstance and see what goes on. Verse 14 of Ezekiel 18, the New Living Translation says, okay, so we had this grandpa was a good guy, right? He was honest, hardworking, never cheated anybody. Dad, he went and did all the bad stuff, right? Now it says, verse 14, but suppose that sinful son in turn has a son. Okay, so the son we just talked about, the one that went his own way. He has a son, and this kid sees his father's wickedness and decides against that kind of life. Ah, so now you've got it. You've got a parent that sets a rotten example. And the kid looks and says, that's not a good example. Now, Grandpa, he did okay. Then he began to evaluate and say, okay, who was right? Which was the right way to go? And so, verse 15, he says, this son refuses to worship idols on the mountains and doesn't commit adultery. Verse 17, he helps the poor. He doesn't lend money at interest. He obeys all my regulations and decrees. In spite of what his father did. It says such a person will not die because of his father's sins. He will surely live. Verse 18, it says, but the father will die for his sins, for being cruel, robbing people, and do what was clearly wrong among his people. And so it says we're responsible for who we are. You're raised in a good family. God expects you to take those good things from that good family. You're raised in one that's got both, which everybody does both. You take the good, but leave the bad. Okay, reject the bad. God will hold you responsible, whoever you are. But we started off by saying, well, the sins of the fathers have visited the children, the third and fourth generation of those that hate me, so what about that? What about those sins? Well, this story goes on to address exactly that issue. In verse 19, this again, New Living Translation, says, what, you ask? Doesn't the child pay for the parents' sins? Okay, there's kind of a yes and no on this. No, it says no. And we'll see the other side of that in a little bit. But he's talking about your relationship with God and how God wants you to be in your relationship with him, no matter what background it came from. So doesn't the child pay for the parent's sins? He says no. For if the child does what is right and keeps my decrees, that child will surely live. And whether he started off wrong and then changed, or whether he just from the very beginning, like Josiah, that was 8 years old when he started ruling and doing the right thing. What was that? Wasn't it Josiah? Anyway. Okay, verse 20. It says, a person who sins is the one who will die. The child won't be punished for the parent's sins. Now, we'll see that there's oftentimes a consequence of the parent's sins that fall on us. But the child will not be punished for the parent's sins, and the parent won't be punished for the child's sins. Righteous people will be rewarded for their own righteous behavior, and wicked people will be punished for their own wickedness. And he says, verse 21, but if wicked people turn away from all their sins and obey my decrees, do what is just and right, they shall surely live. You'll be blessed in spite of what your heritage might be. God will bless you, and with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and with him as the one that we follow, we'll be given eternal life, grace and mercy. Now it says verse 22, all their past sins will be forgotten. They will live because of the righteous things they've done. So you, again, may have been raised in a situation that was, to be kind, far less than desirable. And you may have started off on a wrong track as a result of where you've lived. But he says, then when you decide, you will change and you will follow God's way. All that stuff's done from God's perspective. You get a fresh start in God's eyes. And you get to go on and live a godly way of life. It's a blessing. And it's a wonderful thing when you have been raised in a situation that you need that mercy and that grace of God and that help. And you need to claim that and accept it and move on. And not be stuck in the past. Easy to say, difficult to do, if you've been there. God not only allows us to change, he insists on it. He wants us to look at the good things from the past and duplicate. Look at the bad things from the past and reject it and accept his way. Verse 23 of Ezekiel 18 says, do you think I like to see wicked people die or suffer? Of course not. I want them to turn from their wicked ways and live. And if wicked people turn from their wickedness, obey the law and do what is just and right, they'll save their lives. Verse 28, very key scripture in this. He said they will live because they thought it over and decided to turn from their sins. Such people will not die. He says, look at your life. Look at the life of your grandparents, life of your parents, the life of society around you, and make a decision. Do you want to be blessed and live and go my way, or do you want to continue on a bad path? Or do you want to follow those good things? But he wants you to think it over. It's kind of like the time of unleavened bread. It says, examine yourselves. You know, look and see where are we with things in life. Today's English version in verse 28, it says, he realizes what he is doing and stops sinning. He won't die, but he'll go on living. And the key is realizing when we're not doing the right thing. Realizing when we have inherited a trait or from an example that is causing us to not do things in a godly way. Okay, and when we have seen the godly way to imitate that, imitate Christ. Verse 28 of the New Century Version says, because they thought about it and stopped doing all the sins they had done. So what God wants of us is to think about the influence of those around us. And then verse 30, it says, therefore I will judge each of you, O people of Israel, according to your actions, says the Sovereign Lord. Repent and turn from your sins and don't let them destroy you. And don't let them destroy the lives of your children if you're following a bad way of life and wrong things. Set the right example. Verse 31, put all your rebellion behind you and find yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. And when God opens your mind, gives you his Holy Spirit after repentance and baptism, you've got that new mind and that new heart and that new spirit. You can put all that stuff behind you and to go God's way. I don't want you to die, says the Sovereign Lord. Turn back and live. So we've got to recognize that which is godly and internalize those things. See things that aren't quite in line with God's way or maybe totally opposite to God's way and turn to God's way and live. But aren't some consequences of parents visited upon the children? Yeah, they are. We won't turn over there because it'll take you too long to find Lamentations possibly, but Lamentations 5 and verse 7, it says, our fathers have sinned and are no more, and we bear their iniquities. We bear the iniquities of the parents. The International Standard Version of Lamentations 5 verse 7 says, our ancestors sinned and no longer exist, yet we continue to bear the consequences of their sin. Now, I think this is primarily what it's talking about when it says the sins of the fathers have been visited to the children, to the third and fourth generations of those that hate me. When we sin, there's a penalty for it. And sometimes those that are around us pay that penalty. Some of you are suffering, if you will, from the sins of some that have gone before you. And again, I know this is difficult when we talk about things that have had a great and a powerful effect. If your parents, your father may have been an adulterer and ended up divorced. It has an effect on the children. Children feel responsible, unhappy, a lot of emotional baggage, because divorce is never, ever good or positive. You don't feel loved because your father abandoned you. The man I was talking with this morning says, I never even met my dad because he left home and left mom with five kids. He still obviously feels bad about that today. It's had an effect on him. If your parent was an alcoholic or a druggie, probably had an effect. Some of you have done the right thing and rejected that and don't do it, and others become an alcoholic if they came from an alcoholic parent. You tell stories, and some of you have them, and I'm sorry to bring things up, but it's a fact that an alcoholic parent would come home and the kid hide under the bed until dad goes to sleep and just went through some awful, awful things. There's uncertainty and fear, instability, things that cause distrust in your life. There's a lot of baggage that comes with it, and when our ancestors sin, we sometimes continue to bear the consequences of that sin. Now, God's not going to hold you responsible for it depending on what you do with it. He gives you a way out. Abuse. Sexual abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse. Say you've got maybe an inability to trust, an unwarranted guilt, a fear. It causes all kinds of relational problems in a person's life. You become a perfectionist because you're always trying to make things right over an abusive parent that said you were no good and never do anything right. Some of you are hurting now because of you've been through that. And you can give yourself to God and let Him be your loving Father and work through some of that, or become an abuser yourself. What are we doing with these things? Okay, I want to lighten up a little bit. That's awful heavy there, but let's continue examining some of the traits we may have ended up with that sometimes we say, well, I didn't have any of that stuff, and I've not done any of that stuff, and I'm a pretty good person, and I've got it all together. Well, nobody's got it all together. 1 John 1, verse 8, quoted last time, says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. It says in 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what God wants us to do is just to look at our lives and say, okay, I fall short here. Or even my parents fell short here. They had some issues. We all do. Nobody that doesn't. And we're going to talk about the other side of this, the positive things we get from those who came before us in a moment. But a person by the name of Lee Polston, P-O-L-S-T-O-N, wrote a book entitled In His Image, The Christian Husband. And he wrote on this basic topic. And he gave a list of what we might call petty sins. Things that aren't like huge and major, but yet things that we may have unknowingly inherited from a grandparent or a parent or someone that came before us. Something we may be doing now that we may be passing on to our children. And so it's a matter of analyzing, okay, is this a good trait? Or am I doing what I'm doing just because, well, that's the way it was always done in my family, and so of course we do it that way. Rather than saying, how would God have us to do and to think and react? So let's just go through this little list of petty sins, and it's obviously not extensive, but consider whether your grandparent, your parent, or you are guilty of these. We could talk about misuse of television. Well, certainly doesn't have, it's not like abuse, all that type of thing, but sometimes we misuse television. You find people that just, it's TV all day. Morning, night, go to sleep with it on. I'll tell you right now, and I generally don't, well, I do. Once in a while, I'll go over to somebody's place and television's on. It's pretty loud and came over because we want to talk and I can't hear because the television's on. Would you mind turning that TV off? Oh, I guess. And sometimes I don't say anything and they're kind of look past you, kind of getting in the way of Oprah, and you're kind of, well, okay, I can leave. But misuse of money. Some people are very good with their money, and maybe your parent was, and you learned how to spend a dollar and squeeze a nickel or whatever, or maybe not. Maybe you spend too much on things that are frivolous or wrong. How are your money habits? Focused on social status. Got to keep up with the Joneses. And, well, we always got to be better than the neighbors, and you consider yourself better than somebody else there. Is that something that carried on if you had it? Too focused on me. Yes, we do need our time, but when it's all about me and then we get focused on ourselves, we inherit a bad thing. Got to think about it. Actually, my wife suggested something on the way down. I will tomorrow I'll send you this list and the other questions I've got here coming up in a little bit. So if you're not writing them down or don't want to, or you don't care, you don't have to open the document when I send it. But to never admit mistakes. Some of you had a parent that never would admit they were wrong. Sometimes a kid needs to hear, "Bobby, I was wrong. I shouldn't have reacted that way. I'm sorry." And then maybe you don't ever admit you're wrong. Well, that's wrong not to admit when we make a mistake. Drugs and tobacco, being critical. Maybe grandma was just always critical of everybody. Nobody could do anything right. And even go home from church and you have a pastor for supper, nothing ever is good enough. Being lenient towards sin. Well, that doesn't really matter. It's not that bad. Being proud or arrogant. Some of you may have come, "Well, we're proud here." Maybe the wrong way. There's a right pride and a wrong pride, but a false humility. Well, we're just poor folk, We'll never be good enough, and God doesn't want us because we're not nice enough. And being unthankful. Are you a thankful person? Is your family thankful? They teach you to be thankful. You write somebody a note when they do something nice for you. You go thank them. Having a temper. Some people have a temper, and if you put them in a mirror against their parent, they look exactly the same. You learned it. You inherited it. You never got rid of it. Never addressed it. Nowadays, it can be internet addiction, smartphone addiction. That's a big one anymore. Especially get off a plane anymore. It's just everybody's dirty humor. Yeah, Dad used to tell dirty jokes, and it's probably not that bad then if Dad did. Neglectful, neglecting your family, neglecting things that need to be done. Self-righteous, it's concerned with man's opinion. What are people going to think of us? Well, we can't do that because somebody might think this of us. Instead of really worried about just what does God think of us, and we'll do the right thing before God. Irregular church attendance. Some of you have a really good example of parents that drove 4 hours one way to church and never would miss. And others will, we'll make it if we can. Inappropriate music. Being mean. Have you had a parent that was mean? And were you mean too? Grandparent that was mean. Angry. Get angry, you don't know why. Just always mad. Always angry. A gossip. If you're prejudiced, you've got certain things that your parents taught you about a certain group of people or race or whatever, and you carry that prejudice down. It's wrong. You've got to recognize it, not carry that on. Being unforgiving. I'll never forgive you. You did that 15 years ago, and I'll never forget it. Favoritism. The list could go on. Now, it may be that some of us have some of those bad traits, and we just developed it on our own, kind of like that kid. His dad was a good example, but yet he just decided or didn't think about, and he turned out bad. But consider 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. Sometimes we do things because it's just the way it was done. We don't think that much about it. We think there may be something that's normal that is actually inappropriate or wrong because we haven't thought about it. But like that one scripture says in Ezekiel 18. 1 Kings 22, verse 51. New International Version says, "Ahaziah, son of Ahab, became king of Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned over Israel 2 years." And Ahaziah did evil in the sight of the Lord because he walked in the ways of his father and mother. Now, his father and mother, granted, were Ahab and Jezebel. I mean, Jezebel now. I mean, you say, well, Jezebel, that's kind of the ultimate for a bad lady. The point is that he followed in their footsteps. He did the wrong thing without thinking about it. Or maybe he thought about it and thought, hey, this is cool. It says, and in the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. And so there were societal influences around him, and he followed the example of a bad leader, in addition to Ahab and Jezebel, his parents. Verse 53, he served and worshipped Baal and provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger, just as his father had done. Are the things we do that's just as our father or mother or grandfather or grandmother had done? Chip off the old block. Are we making mistakes or sinning because our parents did? On the other hand, what positive traits have you inherited or should you have followed if you didn't? 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 14, God said of Solomon, he says, so if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I'll lengthen your days. Okay, now David obviously wasn't perfect, right? It's like the rest of us, and I think worse in so many ways. Okay, but his heart was right before God. He repented. He followed God. And he said, Solomon, if you follow in your father's footsteps and take the good parts of what he did and reject the bad parts of what he did, then you will be blessed. What are some of the things that you inherited from your grandparents, your parents? Some of your parents, grandparents have taught God's way, very well versed in the Word of God, and the law is in their hearts and in their minds. And they taught you when they walked by the way, when they lied down and you rose up. It's printed on the doorposts of your house, so it's always there. Great example, if you followed that. Many of you have. Honest. You know, handshake is as good as any contract. And you know that they would never cheat or lie or steal. A good work ethic. My grandpa Scriber had a great work ethic, an old German. Although, on the other hand, you have to look at things and say he was more of a workaholic and probably worked too hard to the neglect of his many children. My dad picked up a good work ethic, passed it on to me, and I, at least we hope, try to have a good work ethic, but something passed down through the generations, right? So there are good things to pass down. Loving. Somehow grandma, I could always know that she was there for me, and she just loved me, and mom always loved me, or whatever. Are you that way? Forgiving. Not holding the grudges. Dedicated. Dedicated to family, dedicated to work, dedicated to God, church. Financially responsible, knows how to save, knows how to spend properly, work to get it, wouldn't want to cheat anybody. Tough. You know, there are a lot of people that come from families that were, maybe the mother was fairly dysfunctional, but very tough, and worked hard and saw the kid through, and you pick up some of that toughness from your parent. And again, that has to be a balance too. Are you tender? Considerate. Does that describe your grandpa, grandma? You put God first. Kind. Compassionate. Reliable. A lot of good traits that you are passing on to your children. And you hope that they take and they put to use in their lives. And a lot of things that you inherited from those around you. Balanced. You know, not going into one ditch or the other. Looking out for others. Care and concern for others. Education, important. the betterment of the family, sense of humor. Good if some of us will develop that. I'm trying, but a good provider, temperate, trustworthy, a lot of good things. And when we do those things that have been inherited, we will be blessed. Because there's blessings for obedience and following good principles. Now, Lee Polston had an interesting evaluation process, and he had a number of questions that are modified, and again, he wrote the book in his image, The Christian Husband. And I want to go through these and ask them, and I think you may want to take them home and consider. And again, I'll send these questions out to you so you don't have to jot these down, but just think about them. Rated on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the least and 10 the most. How well do you know your grandparents? You know, I'd have to say on one of mine, 1, because she died when I was a year old and I didn't know her. A couple of others I could give maybe a 6 or 7. Okay, question 2, and again this is modified, he mainly focused on the negative, but I want to focus on the positive of this. To what degree do you possess the same good or bad traits or habits or sins that your grandparents had? To what degree do you possess the same good or bad traits or habits or sins that your grandparents had? You know, I could say with my grandfather, he had was known for having the neatest farm in all of Iosco County. I mean, the fence is painted white and everything, and of course the kids were responsible for a lot of that because they had them doing the work. And you know, my dad was kind of a neat nick, and if you've been to our house and you could almost eat off of the garage floor there. And although I'm not as neat as could be, it's just something that was inherited. Okay, and so I think of that, and I think, well, Grandpa was, neatest farm, and then kind of possessed some of that. Okay, question 3. To what degree do you possess the same good or bad traits or habits that your mom has or had? Okay, think about mom. What do I do that's good or bad? 4, what degree do you possess the same good or bad traits, habits, or sins that your dad has or had? Now, 5 says, to what degree have you realized or admitted the sin lineage from your grandparents to you? In other words, what was there about grandpa or grandma that they did that just, some of you had a mean grandparent. How do you be so mean? Just a little kid, and they always... My mom's father would haul us around on his tractor when he would take the little bucket from the outhouse. And it would seem as though that was cruel, but it was actually, we enjoyed it a lot. We did have an outhouse, and I got to stand on the back of the tractor and on this thing, and hopefully it didn't slosh too bad, but anyway. It's sort of to think back on some of the... I've never done that to my grandkids. Okay, 6. To what degree have you realized or admitted the sin lineage from your parents to you? Okay, what was it that mom or dad do or did that really wasn't quite so good? And we're not talking about running your parents down, or we're not talking about blame and all that type of thing, but admitting whether something is right or wrong. And God wants us to evaluate life in that way. We need to look at the good part of that too. And some may have been very good and very bad at the same time. Number 7. To what degree have you corrected the sin habits passed down from your grandparents and parents? For you, so that wasn't a very good example. When I got yelled at, I didn't like getting yelled at, and I decided never to do that to my kids, to make them feel so bad and inferior, and so I hold my temper, you know, whatever it is, you know, you look at what, you know, my mom wasn't a very good hugger, and she had her reasons for that too, and it's something that that I didn't carry down, I guess, if you know me. Okay, verse 8. To what degree do you see good or bad traits or sin habits in your husband or wife that were passed down from his or her parents? Okay, she's just like her mom, right? The kids call once in a while, "Dad, I'm getting to be just like mom. I said when I was growing up, I'd never be like mom, but I am." Now that can be very good, or it can be not so good, depending on what it is, right? Okay, we got to evaluate that. And I say, and the kids oftentimes will say, "Thank you, mom, for being that way. And I didn't like it when I was growing up, but I realized that was a good thing. And now I'm that way to my kid, and I learned that well. That's a good thing, right? Or here was something that was kind of hard on me, and I don't think it had a good effect, and I want to do that a little different with my own children." Okay, it's okay to admit that things aren't exactly right. To what degree is your husband or wife passing these good traits or bad traits or sin habits down to your children? To what degree are you passing those good or bad habits or traits down to your children? As a husband, what do you see your children doing that's good, bad, that came from you? As a wife, what do you see that it's like her that's good, bad? Again, it's recognizing these things. That, and Polston's got a couple more questions here. Of the sins exhibited in your children, how much do you attribute to your lineage? Okay, my kids are like this, and I see that it's been passed down through the generations. Just like grandpa. Just like grandma. Same good or bad things. How much do you attribute that to your husband's lineage or your wife's lineage? You know, I've decided that all of the bad traits in my kids are my wife's fault. Because if she would have married somebody else, then my children wouldn't have inherited those bad traits from me. Did you inherit some baggage from your parents? From Uncle Harold? Grandpa Jones? What can we do about it if we have? Can we do anything about it? If something's broken, can we fix it? This week and next week, I'd like you to consider some of those things if you choose to. Think it over. Think about it. And in a couple of weeks, we'll come back with part 3 of the sins and blessings of the fathers on the children.